Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Welcome and thanks for listening. Let me ask you a question. How do you perceive your image? Do you think that you portray a strong image out there? Well, you're in luck. We're going to talk with Linda Yates of Linda Yates Coaching and Consulting Group from Boca Raton, Florida. And we're going to talk about how you can achieve the image of distinction. So, Linda, welcome to the show and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Bill. It's a pleasure to be here.
Linda, it's great to have you. Tell us a little bit about you and your background and how you came to start your coaching and consulting group.
Thank you. So the journey started about 30-something years ago. I went to my first professional development course because it was a course on image and makeup and, quite frankly, tapping into the potential that was within me. And that started my journey with regard to image. And then as life would have it, and I got pulled into corporate America very heavily, I was actually one of the first females to break the executive boardroom, and I learned very quickly that image is more than just what you put on your body, but it's how you carry yourself, how you communicate, but most importantly, do you do what you say you're going to do?
Mm-hmm. And do most people... Are they aware of what their image is, or do they have any idea?
I think a lot of the times people are just kind of clueless, right? We all like to make that first really great impression, but what we sometimes don't realize is that first impression, whether or not it's a good impression, it is often a lasting impression. So, and I think as we age and mature in business and in our careers and professional life, some of us get to a point where, well, if they don't like me, that's their problem. But at the end of the day, if we're wanting to persuade or to connect, solve problems, or go to the next level, or even whatever our agenda is, we have to take it into account that our image is always emanating. It's always signaling out to others around us.
Yeah, and it's been said that, of course, people are creatures of habit. So are a lot of their... imagery habits formed at early ages, or can they change over time? Like, do they adapt? I know people that have, for instance, moved from one part of the country to another, and you meet up with them a couple years later, and they've adapted a southern drawl. If they moved to Alabama.
Yes, that's really true. People do adapt to their environment, and I think that's one of the things that we have to caution too. There's a loss of professionalism right now in the industry. And what we're seeing too is people entering the professional world, they think that certain behaviors, certain dress is appropriate, where those that are starting to exit the professional world, again, it's a changing world. For instance, yesterday I was giving a presentation to a group of baby boomers and some very successful entrepreneurs, and actually several CEOs, retired CEOs. And the question was raised with regard to shaking hands. So how has that changed? How is that image changing all the time? And I think that we get stuck into the point that we think we can be really casual, or that we act so casual with so many others, but really at the end of the day, when it comes to business and achieving our goals, and especially our professional goals, that we need to realize that we're always emanating a signal. And so we can step it up or energize it, if you will, in everything that we do.
I think there's a fine line between style and one guest put it as the slobification of America. I never heard that term before, but I thought it kind of defines, there's a lot of what's going on. Now, some people just portray that they just don't care anymore about their image, and some are very wealthy people that are just saying, you know, I don't really buy into any of that anymore. Do you find that that's something that some people adapt and incorrectly? I mean, are they wrong to do that?
Yeah, and part of the reason why it is wrong to do that is what we put on our body, how we move our body, all these things signal out to the rest of the world, right, which we may not care about. But what happens most importantly is what's going on inside. The way we communicate, what our nonverbals say, what clothes we put on our body, and quite frankly, how we act, whether or not we act with integrity or not, it matters most to what goes on inside. So, for instance, if I'm going through a rough time and I'm depressed or I'm sad, I may have a tendency to be in looser, baggier clothes because, you know what, I'm just not feeling that great about myself. But the minute I kind of step up my image a little bit, put on a little bit nicer top, put on maybe some jewelry, or, you know, I do my hair or whatever the case may be, once I step up my appearance, it signals out to everyone else. But what happens is what's called the embodied condition. Northwestern University did a study on this, that what we put on our body actually impacts how we feel about ourselves. And then as we feel better about ourselves, emanate this signal of more confidence, more polish, and we're going to attract more of the things we want in our life rather than the things we don't.
So what you're saying is fake it and you will make it.
Absolutely. I was sitting yesterday at a networking appointment with a 72-year-old disabled woman. This woman, you would have no clue that she was 72 years old. She looks like maybe she's pushing in her early 50s. And, you know, we actually discussed this and the fact that she said, you know, so many people my age just kind of give up in the way they think about their appearance and the way that they move their body and the way that they hold their body and the way that they communicate. And it's really true that, and she looks happy, and you would have no clue that this woman is 72 years old and that she's actually a disabled woman because she's had polio all of her life. But she looks like she's 50 years old.
Now, you know, a lot of our listeners, Linda, are business owners, and of course they're portraying an image not only to their customers but to their employees as well. And so how prevalent does, if you raise your image, how does that help you and your profitability?
Well, it does help because what it's signaling to their employees and actually to their customers that they care, right? That they put a little effort in to being their best, because that's what people are often buying from us, right? We're trading value for our energy or our money for someone's energy. For instance, in my world, in my coaching consulting world, what people are buying from me is they're buying my energy. They're buying the value that I give. And by showing that I care enough to be at the top of my game, lets my clients and my customers know that I really care about them, that I'm going to give them the best of me that they possibly can get. As the CEO of a company, you set the tenor of professionalism within your organization. I worked with a CEO that when I first started working at this company, the chief operating officer said to me, Linda, you don't have to dress so nice. It was a technology company. He's like, Linda, you don't need to really dress so nice. And that set me back for a minute. And I thought, well, I'm not just dressing this way for you. I'm dressing this way for me. And what was kind of interesting as time went on, I noticed that the CEO started to change his dress just a little bit. He started stepping it up because we would go into meetings together and I would be, in my mind, my most professional best, where he was extremely casual. But, you know, I never told this to him personally, but I saw him start to kind of shift his mindset a little bit about that. But it does show that we care about our business, that we care about ourselves, and that we care that we give the most polished, professional, positive image that we possibly can on our organizations.
Yeah, and that's, you know, here's a good pointer, I guess, there is, can you imagine going to the Ritz-Carlton and everybody's dressed in different T-shirt. No, you know, you have even the lowest paid employee is wearing a Ritz-Carlton kind of a golf shirt, or, you know, a uniform type of a thing. They've put a lot of thought into the image that's portrayed at that type of an establishment. So why wouldn't that work well for your small business as well as making sure everybody portrays some kind of an image? Not saying everybody has to dress uniformly, but at least have a minimum kind of a dress code so everybody feels good, not only looks good to the customers, but feels good about themselves. And that raises the whole, it sounds like that raises the whole psyche of the company.
It does. It definitely does. There's a great study that talked about salespeople that sold the same items, and they reviewed them over a couple-week period. It was the same salespeople, and they changed just the color of suits, clothes, shirt, tie, blouse, whatever that they were wearing. And they marked their sales, and they found that there was an 18% increase just by even changing the color of what they wore. And they were selling the same exact item. So this stuff, we think that, oh, you know, it doesn't matter, but it really does at the end of the day.
Well, that's great. So what are some tips for our listeners to step up their image?
You know, the first thing is to make sure that the clothes that you wear fit you, and that some people might get hung up over, oh, I can't, or I've got to fit into a certain size. Well, if that size doesn't look good on you, it's too tight or it's too loose, that you get rid of it. You need to have clothes that are tailored for you. So get a good tailor. And, you know, a suit doesn't have to be $1,000, $2,000 suit to look really good. Quite frankly, all you need is a really good tailor so that it fits your body and your style in the best possible way. So line and form is another big aspect. One of the biggest tips that I share as I present across the country is when you're giving a presentation or you're giving a pitch, you're getting up in front of a board and you're trying to sell your idea. If you put on a jacket, your authority perception will go up 50%. So the minute you take off that jacket, you lose 50% of your perceived authority.
Wow.
So a jacket is really key to your success, or what we call a completer piece. So for women, it doesn't necessarily have to be a tailored corporate jacket, but even just a soft line jacket, that extra piece on. And even by covering the skin, you know, I'm in South Florida, right? So I'm with a lot of professionals, but it's hot here in South Florida, especially
it's
in the summer. And we get a lot of female professionals that wear, you know, low necklines, high hemlines. And quite frankly, you know, those are fun clothes and there's a place. But in the business world and for professionalism, if you want to be taken more seriously, in fact, we can actually tie how much your income is to where your hemline hits. So if you want to make more money, you want to lower your hemline and raise your neckline. Because it's by covering the skin that we, you know, we take away all those other distractions. We get right back to the goal is to bring the eye up. Bring the eye up to the eye, because it's through the eyes that we do business. It's through that eye contact. And so that would be another tip, is to make great eye contact and to smile.
Now, if someone is getting ready to give a presentation and they know that their crowd will probably be dressed in a certain way, is it good counsel to dress up a level from where your crowd is going to be dressed?
Absolutely, and actually in all your interactions, too, is to always think who in the organization is going to be dressed what way, who the highest in the organization. Then I always want to come in just one step above that, because, again, I give the appearance, and I feel good about myself, too, the most confident I can feel, but I give the appearance that I cared enough to give you my very best, and I'm taking this seriously.
So if it's going to be a business casual and you anticipate everybody's going to be in maybe even at a resort like golf shirts, you don't have to put on the three-piece suit, but you might put a jacket over your golf shirt, right? Something like
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Because if
you know, a nice dark pair of jeans or dark, you know, or khaki jeans and a and a dark navy blue shirt and an open business, you know, not the tie, but an open collared shirt, and you're going to look like, yeah, okay, this individual is just stepping it up a notch, and you're going to be very comfortable in that.
So not so much that you're going to alienate the crowd by being way overdressed, and then they're thinking, well, who is this, you know, person that's, you know, so that makes a lot of sense. And how can we create positive customer experiences?
Positive customer experiences really comes back to the way that you listen to your customers and react, and that you take time to show them that you care. So through nonverbal communication. Nonverbal communication is 93% of the way we communicate in everything that we do. So only 7% communicates are the words. So, for instance, right now on the show, people that are listening what they're getting is the tone. They're hearing whether or not there's a smile in your voice, quite frankly, or if your eyes are open. They're sensing that. They're hearing your words, but your tone of voice really impacts. That's a nonverbal cue. So 93% of the way that we communicate with our customers is how powerful we can be with our communication. So vis-a-vis our tone, right? How we make eye contact with them, what kind of gestures that we're doing. Do we have open body language with them? Are we open to learning and understanding where their concerns are so that we can help together come to win-win solutions with our customers?
Great, great tips and advice. Now, you also host the Executive Edge podcast, I understand. Is that right?
I do.
And where can our listeners find that? And tell us about the samples of guests that you've had on and what you talk about.
Okay. Great. The Executive Edge podcast can be found on iTunes. It can be found on Stitcher. It's also on my website, which is Linda with an I, H is in happy, Yates.com. So LindaHYates.com. And the podcast was meant to help everyone, entrepreneurs, executives, business professionals, and non-professionals as well, to really tap into what their potential is and what their edge is. I've interviewed different CEOs of different organizations. I've interviewed some of the top humorists in the country, as well as artists in the country. So I have a different mix. I've actually interviewed young entrepreneurs. The youngest guest I've ever had, let's see, Zach is 11 years old. And this is an aspiring entrepreneur. He and his sister already has a business that has $1 million in sales. So I interview all sorts of different type of executives, entrepreneurs, and we explore what that edge is. And then I also teach a lot on my podcast. So I take certain topics and I teach them. For instance, episode that I'm releasing today is the winning edge mindset, or how to erase doubt in your mindset. And so I take individuals on that process.
So it's tips and ideas to give executives an edge, as it says. And so if they go to iTunes, would they type in the Executive Edge to find it?
Yep, the Executive Edge.
Okay. And you also have a book you're working on, or have you published it, or where are you at with the book?
Yeah, I was kind of laughing when I was looking back through your pre-interview questionnaire. Yes, the book is still in process. It's still being written. However, I did just release, I'm so excited, this audio course called 6 Steps to Energize Your Personal Brand. And it's a course. It's an audio course with a workbook. And I launched a speaking tour that I was just recently at out west a few weeks ago. And it sits on my website. And it's 6 modules, so roughly 6 hours of content in how to step up your personal brand. So I go at length into nonverbal communication and body language. I go in at length about your appearance. I go in at length about your self-image. Also what a success formula mindset is all about. And basically how to tap into that edge. And then the workbook. So what it's meant to be is kind of a self-study coaching course for you to listen to while you're running or in the car going to work. And then the workbook is really pulling those awarenesses out of you, the individual, so that you can help step up and really tap into the best brand that you possibly can be and into your potential.
Well, it sounds terrific. And did you are you the voice of the
audience?
Okay, so you know, hey, what could be better than listening to Linda when you're driving, when you're jogging, when you're improving yourself physically? What could be better than listening to Linda about improving yourself in other ways so you portray the image you want to portray? Linda, it's great to have you on the show. I really enjoy meeting you and getting your tips. They're fantastic, and I wish you the best with your podcast and your audio series and the book. Will you come back on sometime and tell us more about this topic and let us know about your book?
Yeah, I'd love to come back. So, Bill, thank you very much for the invitation. It's been a pleasure.
It's been a real pleasure for me. Thank you very much. I look forward to the next time we talk, Linda. Thank you. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back after this, so please stay tuned. Does thinking about what will happen to your business if you're gone keep you awake at night? Will you get the price you need from your business to carry you through retirement? The BEI Network of Exit Planning Professionals is the world's leading advisor network with the power to help business owners transition out of business on their own timeline and terms. Ask your most trusted advisor to create a BEI plan for you or visit us at exitplanning.com. That's exitplanning.com.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new one-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.